Thank you, Jim. And bless y'all's heart for being here so early. I'm going to skip these disclaimers. They're in the way. First of all, we wanted to identify health disparities among adults with mobility limitations by age group, and then consider some ways that some challenges that public health people have in meeting the needs of these individuals. Our data source was the 2000 to 2007 National Health Interview Survey. I used the sample adult files for this. And we looked at measures of physical health, mental health, chronic conditions, and health behaviors. For analytical procedures, we used crosstab and logistic regression, and we fit generalized logit models for the polychotomous outcome measures and adjusted in the logistic regression models for several demographic factors. And the findings were statistically significant at p less than 0.001. For our conceptual framework, we used the International Classification of Functioning, Disability, and Health, and backcoded the survey questions that were used in this particular study to that. And I've included the ICF codes in these slides. And the ICF, of course, allows you to look at domains like body structure, body functioning, activities, participation, and environmental factors. And that's what we did here. Mobility limitations in the ICF are defined in terms of changing and maintaining body position. And there were two variables that we looked at: people having difficulty sitting or standing unsupported for a sustained period of time, and people having trouble bending and stooping. And then we also looked at folks who said that they had difficulty walking, and that is difficulty walking three blocks and difficulty climbing 10 steps without resting. That just went right out of my head. Okay, and here's our people for mobility limitation, and all these graphs are going to be similar in terms of color. We have first people with who are 18 to 30, and I picked that age group so I'd have a good enough sample size for it. We had in all the whole thing about 238,000 people in the whole sample, and then the 31 to 44 age group. And they were the purple. And then there's a green bar that's the 45 to 64, and a yellow bar for 65 and older. And the physical, we looked at physical health status in terms of fair, poor, good health, or excellent, very good. And these are self-reported. And here are the people with fair, poor health. I wanted to see who has it. And in this case, as you'll see in all but one slide, the people with mobility limitations had much higher percentages than those without mobility limitations for every age group. And this goes up like an ascending staircase, with the oldest people having the greatest reported health. But one thing that struck me is the younger people in the mobility limited category, they reported about 15% poor health, and that's greater than the 10% poor health that was reported by the oldest group of non-limited individuals. And then we looked at measurements for depressive symptoms by computing the K-6 scale of psychological distress, which has been known to be specific and sensitive to discriminating between cases and non-cases of mood disorder. It just doesn't tell you which one that they have. And here we're talking about symptoms, not a DSM-4 code for clinical depression. And these are the variables that we used in computing that scale. And we're looking at people who have together either mild, moderate, or severe symptoms. I didn't break it down. I've done that in other studies. But if they have feelings of sadness, hopelessness, worthlessness, a sense that everything is an effort. These are the people with depressive symptoms. And in both cases, it's a descending staircase with the very youngest people reporting the most depressive symptoms in each group. But again, mobility limitation people have much higher percentages. And we looked at physician diagnosed chronic conditions first, and those included hypertension, diabetes, heart problems like angina and myocardial infarction, breathing problems like asthma and emphysema, chronic bronchitis. And here the hypertension people, the oldest group has it. This is an ascending staircase for both, but it's more defined for the mobility limited people in terms of the stair steps. Here again, the oldest people, this is diabetes, and they, it's an ascending staircase, and the oldest group is the one that has the highest percentage of diabetes, and more for mobility limited folks. Then we have heart problems, and there's the same pattern there of the stair steps going up, with the oldest people having the most difficulty. Now, breathing problems is different. The steps go down, at least for mobility-limited people. And the youngest people report the most breathing problems for both groups. Then we looked at self-reported chronic conditions, joint pain, low back pain, visual impairment, hearing impairment. And this is the joint symptoms. And here, the people in the 45 to 64 group, for mobility-limited people, are the most likely to report joint symptoms, but it's sort of an ascending staircase for the non-limited folks. Here is low back pain, and the two middle groups, the 31 all the way up to 64, those two groups, most likely to report low back pain. And for vision problems, it goes up by age for both groups, and the two oldest groups in the mobility-limited people have the most problems with vision. And hearing, there's a definite increase for people with mobility limitations, a stair step increase by age, and they have a lot more than percent-wise than non-limited. Then we looked at health behaviors, which included current smoking, current drinking, weight problem, then a subset of that, obesity and physical inactivity. Here's current smokers. They smoke some days or every day during the week. And the young people are the ones who are still smoking, especially among mobility-limited people. I've seen this for 10 years. This pattern's been the same. And they aren't getting the public health message about stopping smoking. Here's current drinkers. It descends by age group for the mobility-limited folks, and the only category, age category, that they have it above, they're 68%, for the very youngest group are the ones most likely to use alcohol, and that is drink one or more alcoholic beverages a week. And then here we have weight problems, BMI greater than or equal to 25. The two middle groups in both mobility limited and non-limited are the most likely to have a weight problem, and the same pattern for obesity. And then we're looking at physical inactivity. It goes up by like an ascending staircase going up by age, and the oldest people, especially among those with mobility limitations, are the ones that have the greatest problem with physical inactivity. And here we have the vulnerability profiles. For the youngest group, it's depression, smoking, and drinking alcohol. For the 31 to 44 group, it's hypertension, joint pain, and obesity. And here we're controlling for all the cofactors here for demographics. For the 45 to 64, their biggest problem was very poor health, diabetes, heart problems, and weight problems. And the oldest group had the highest odds of anybody of physical inactivity. And this shows that people with mobility limitations face a number of health risks and threats to their health. There's a need for early intervention at every age to prevent further disability and health decline. And we really need longitudinal data because this is cross-sectional and we haven't got a picture of what it's like across the age span for the same group. This, nothing about us without us. This is one slide I can see. I like it. That's why I put it in. But whenever we develop any interventions, we really need people with mobility limitations. If it's about them, they need to be involved in all stages. And that is, they need to be involved. This is a group of four ovals, and it says, people with mobility limitations, advancing research and intervention through involvement as planners, as advisors, and as participants. It's the planners who get left out with mobility limitations when the research is being designed and the interventions. And they really need to have a say in that. It'll help the success rate. That's a text slide because that graph is not screen reader friendly. My tables are, but this one's not, so I put that in. And then in terms of depression, we need to collaborate with disability organizations for research, that we need to have better access to health, mental health screening programs and programs for interventions, and better access to medication. For chronic conditions, we need to be collecting data on chronic conditions. We need to be able to map those across the lifespan of a person and to understand the interactive effects of secondary conditions and disability on participation and functioning. In terms of health behaviors, we need outreach, and that is through disability organizations, through the web, especially young people can be reached a lot through the web. These interventions need to be tailored to the lived experience of people with mobility limitations. We need to provide affordable, barrier-free access to interventions and health promotion programs, and we need to teach healthy eating and cooking skills to those whose cooking skills may be compromised by their disability. And that's my contact information, and I do thank y'all kindly.